You're listening to Podketeers.
Welcome to episode 339 of Podketeers. This week we talk about Disney Investor Day and all the announcements and everything we're most excited about. It was a really long list of content for all of Disney's major brands. We'd love to hear what some of your favorites were and maybe even some of the things that you're not looking forward to. Just join the conversation over on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or our new Discord server. If you're not a part of the community that we're trying to grow there, you'll find an invite link in the blog post for this episode at podketeers.com/339 or on podketeers.com to scroll and check the where you can find us section. Our virtual food drive to raise money to help cast members and other hospitality workers in the Orange County area is still going on. We'd like to say thanks to everyone that has contributed so far. Remember that if you can't donate, reposting the food drive info is a huge help. We're doing the food drive through Second Harvest Food Bank because we'd love that every dollar donated becomes the equivalent of up to 3 meals. With your help so far, we've been able to provide almost 1,500 meals. This food drive is just a small way for us to try to repay some of the magic that cast members have provided us with over the years. If you would like more information or want to help, you can find a link at teamboatwilly.com. Super easy to remember. It's like Steamboat Willie, but without the S. On that page, you'll find info and a link to make a donation. And to everyone that's already donated and that's shared the food drive info, thank you so much for helping us spread the magic. And of course, before we kick off the episode, I'd like to send a special thank you and a huge shout out to the members of the FGP squad, aka our podcast fairy godparents, because it's their monthly support via Patreon that help make these episodes of Podketeers possible. Being part of the FGP squad family gets you some additional perks like access to our monthly happy hour call, which this last weekend was one of the funnest calls I think we've had with the FGP squad. So shout out to everyone that was a part of it. I'm really, really looking forward to next month. You get additional discounts on gear. You get additional content. So if you would like more info on how you can become part of the FGP squad family, you can go to podketeers.com/FGP. And as always, a very special thank you to the FGP squad for their continued support. So that's it. That's the intro. And this is episode 339 of Podketeers. But really exciting, I would say.
It's a good time to be a geek, be a nerd, and yeah.
I know. We at this point we're approximately 10 days away from Christmas, and I mean, you know, Christmas is my favorite time of year. This year has obviously been different because a big part of my Christmas experience is going to the parks and celebrating at Disneyland, celebrating at California Adventure, doing the Festival of Holidays, watching our pals from Fat Cat Swinger do their thing. Yeah. And, I mean, this year I'm having to do it all virtually, going through some of our old vlogs, listening to the albums on Spotify, it's definitely different. There's been, you know, I've been going through photos of the park that I took during Christmas time, and I miss it so much.
That's what I'm hearing, like, over social media. Like, everyone's on the same page. We all miss it.
Yeah.
I actually found, I didn't know at the time, Mostly Kosher is on Spotify as well. So I was mixing them up. Yeah.
Cool.
So I've been listening because they're one of the bands that I really do miss.
They're really good. They're really fun band too.
Yeah.
Oh man, I didn't know. I'm going to have to go look for them. I'm surprised I hadn't looked for them before.
I didn't either. And you know what? Maybe because we do see them. That's probably why.
Maybe.
So there you go.
So yeah, I mean, it's been a tough week. I've had a lot of music playing in the background while I've been editing, and I've been putting together this presentation that, you know, I've been talking to you guys about for a while.
Yeah.
Saturday, super fun. We did the FGP Squad happy hour. We did another round of Jackbox games. And, oh, man, I got to tell you, it was probably one of the funnest nights I've had playing games with the FGP Squad.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And each round just got better and better. And we just got wittier and wittier.
Yeah, it did. And, like, I feel like every phone call, like, we get to know each other a little bit more. So when we play certain games that, like, have to appeal to a certain audience to get the points, like, you kind of know them already. And, I mean, that's the whole point of the Jackbox games, right? Like, they're very friend-centric, and that's what I really like about them. So, man, I'm really looking forward to next month's call. The games that we played were super fun. We did a lot of rounds of Quiplash this time. And then we did Champed Up again. And that one went really well.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Everyone was so creative. The drawings, just like... Okay, so if you're not familiar with Champed Up, you have to draw your character, your fighter. And then if not, I mean, after that, you would be up against someone, so you would have to draw that or your opponent, like who they would fight. Kind of like in Pokemon.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of. Like, they do end up looking like weird old, like weird Pokemon.
They do.
I didn't think about that. Okay. Well, I guess Julie drew one that looked like a weird looking Mr. Mime at one point.
Yeah.
And then somebody drew one that looked like
Pikachu.
Like an electrocuted Pikachu, which seems weird because he is electric. But I'm just so happy. It was a great time. I'm looking forward to next month. If any of you listening want to be a part of these phone calls, they're exclusive to our patrons on Patreon. They're exclusive to the FGP Squad. If you join the FGP Squad family, you'll have access to the monthly Zoom call with us, and we just hang out. Sometimes we talk, sometimes we play modified versions of board games, and other times we just spend 2 to 3 hours playing Jackbox games, and it's been a super fun way to connect with the FGP Squad, and I'm so digging it. I'm looking forward to doing this way more, you know, with them.
Yeah.
So, the next one will be announced soon on Patreon. If you're interested, you can head over to podcateers.com/FGP for more information on how you can become part of the FGP Squad family. And, of course, as always, you know, to all the members of the FGP Squad, we just want to say thank you for your continued support, and congratulations to Heather on absolutely dominating almost every single freaking game.
She did awesome.
I couldn't believe it. There was at least, was it her or Julie that at one point came from like
Julie
last place and just won the whole
thing? Yeah.
I could not believe it. That third round just messed everyone up. So, we have a lot to talk about today because, quite frankly, it was a huge news week. Before we get into Disney stuff, I do want to say that it's been a really positive week because we finally had the first actual vaccines for COVID go out into the world, and they were administered. And I'm so ridiculously happy about that because that means we're one step closer to getting back to Disneyland.
For reals. No, for reals.
Don't stop wearing a mask. Just because people are getting vaccinated, we are not out of the woods yet. This last week, sadly, California posted some of the worst numbers as far as people that, you know, were affected by COVID. And I want to get past this just as much as everybody else does. But let's be positive. The vaccines are out there. And let's do our best to continue helping each other. You know, wear your mask when you go out. Let's drop the curve again. But it's going to get us through. Yeah. We're going to make it to next year. We'll get vaccinated. And then we can go back to finally having a churro on Main Street. So anyway, I just want to throw that out there because it was huge news. Sandra Lindsay was an ICU nurse in Queens, I think, in New York. And she was the first person to have one officially administered here in the United States. And hold on, I had a quote from her. She said, that after she took it, she said, mm-hmm. I felt a huge sense of relief, hope for everyone around the world that healing is coming. And we took a step in the right direction to finally put an end to this COVID-19 pandemic. Yeah.
That's exactly. Beautiful.
Exactly. And I get it. There's a lot of people that are going to be worried about, you know, it was so quick, like some have taken so long. And I mean, we're not going to get it. I think depending on, it's broken up into like four sectors of people. And depending on where you fall, like I think I fall in like B or C, like second or third, like somewhere in between the two. But because of the inability to acquire as many vaccines as were possible, some people may not get one until possibly June of 2021, which is why it's so important to continue wearing your mask and to continue social distancing. If you wanted light at the end of the tunnel, that's it. That's your light at the end of the tunnel. You know, like everybody's been frustrated because we've had to be home. Yes, it's pretty much a year now that we've been having yeah. to do it, but like now there's hope. Now there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that's what we're most happy about. That's what we're most hopeful for. So anyway, back to the Disney news, finally. So Disney Investor Day happened. Disney Investor yeah. Day is normally it was held on the studio lot. They've had presentations about some of the stuff that Disney's working on. Last year, they talked a lot about Disney Plus and, you know, how they were going to start pivoting into the streaming world. And this year, they did it from the same studio lot, but it was different because it was more green screen than anything else. It was broadcast online for people to watch. And man, the there's just... we're getting bombarded with so yes. much content.
Yes.
Disney's pivot into streaming is... I understand. I kind of get where this is coming from. Because with the parks being closed for so long, like mm-hmm. Disney World has really been the only domestic park that's been open. It hasn't been open to capacity. And there's only so far that Disney World can keep things floating, right? They right. need other streams of revenue. Disney Plus, sadly and happily, launched at the best time for Disney, you know, because yeah. it launched right before the pandemic started. And since then, like people have just gone to it. They've been streaming a lot of the content. Right now, I think when they first launched it and they first started talking about it, they didn't anticipate they were going to break even or start making any money until like 2024 or something like that because yeah. of the fact that they had so many people that signed up with subscriptions that were heavily discounted. Like we got our subscription at D23 and it was like, I think it broke down to $3 a month for like 3 years. Because we paid that, it yeah. all up front or something. Just like any service that begins to grow, Disney has also announced that starting in March of 2021, the monthly fee for Disney Plus will go from $6.99 to $7.99. And it's still a pretty decent price because we yeah. like we got our subscription. Like we have Hulu, we have Netflix, we have Disney Plus. Netflix just raised their price again to almost $20 a month.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. And they do have a lot of original content. Like, I understand that you got to get the money somewhere, which is why mm-hmm. Disney is raising, you know, the price a dollar.
Right.
But at the same time, I kind of keep falling back on the fact that I don't really watch a lot of the Netflix originals. Like, my kids watch a lot of the stuff on there, but I end up just watching the same things that I've watched before because I just need noise in the background. And when I'm watching new stuff, I'm on Disney Plus.
Yeah, exactly. Same here. Same here. It's not that much, but they also have been taking away, you know, different selections and whatnot. And then to see that Disney's adding all this stuff, you know, plus Mandalorian.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it's it's going to be really exciting over the next several years for Disney Plus. They mm-hmm. made the announcement that as of December 2nd, Disney's entire direct-to-consumer services portfolio has exceeded 137 million global paid subscribers. And that's huge because you can have a certain number of subscribers, but not all of them are paid. Some of them may be on a 30-day trial, on a two-month trial. And some services, I think, use those numbers to pad theirs, you know, to make it look like it's a lot more. But in mm-hmm. this case, I'm glad that they made the distinction that it's that many paid subscribers. So the breakdown is they have 11.5 million for ESPN Plus. They have 38.8 million on Hulu and 86.8 million Disney Plus subscribers.
Yeah.
Those are insane numbers. And they're not even open in all markets yet.
Right, right. The most interesting part was hearing them say that the usual, like everybody would say that Disney Plus is usually for geared for kids, but the highest amount of people who actually have this account are those without kids, which was really interesting, but I could see why. I mean, the nostalgia stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that does have a lot to do with it because, I mean, there's so many things on there. Like, I've been watching a lot of things from when I was younger. Like, recently, my kids and I have been watching, like, Rescue Rangers. We started watching, you know, some of the old Disney Afternoon stuff. But, like, for me, for instance, one of the things I'm really, really excited to get a chance to watch again is Dinosaurs.
Yes!
Dinosaurs yes. was a TV show that used to air on ABC when... I don't even remember, like late 90s maybe?
No, this was early 90s.
Oh, early 90s, you're right.
Early 90s, yeah.
And it was part of like TGIF and everything. Mm-hmm. And I can hear Earl in my head like, honey, I'm home. You know, and the, not the mama,
yes.
not the mama,
So, my little brother had the doll, the plush.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was awesome. That's how I remember.
That's awesome. So, I mean, that's coming in January, you know, and little by little, they've been adding these additional pieces of content from, you know, years ago that I never thought I'd get a chance to watch again. Dinosaurs, I do own on DVD, but it's not the entire series. Like, I own, like, season one, and then they stopped producing it or something like that. I'm happy that they're adding stuff. I'm happy that they're adding a whole bunch of new stuff. But before we get into all the stuff that's coming, where's some of that old stuff that we want to watch, Disney? Like, bring us some of that wonderful World of Disney stuff that we've been, like, itching to watch again. Bring us some of those, like, once-aired specials with, like, Ernest opening Splash Mountain and all these things that aired
the
once.
Promos.
Yes! Yes! Like, where's all the stuff that was on Disney Channel one time and never aired again? That's the stuff we want to watch, especially for people like me that didn't have Disney Channel or didn't have the means to watch these things. Like, I would love to see them in better quality than whatever's on YouTube right now.
Well, maybe that could be in the future.
I hope so, because
I would we're going to just hope on that.
Yeah. No, I mean, honestly, I really do hope that they do that because, like, the wonderful World of Disney stuff, imagine being able to relive that on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, like, if I could plan this, like, for this, I mean, maybe the 70th anniversary, like, that would be kind of cool. Like, I would release every episode of that series culminating with the day Disneyland opened for the 70th anniversary, and just like every week on Disney Plus, play an episode that played and originally aired like that week when Walt was telling us about the park that was originally coming. You know what I mean?
And then, yeah, and then we could see the show at DCA.
Yeah, and
there
then
you go.
Can, then you can even film a new version of it, you know, that highlights the park now at 70 years.
We just gave Disney another idea.
Look, we're chock full of these. We'll just jot that one down, Send a royalty check. You have my address, Disney. You know, so it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll work something out. Podcateers Media will take care of it for you. So yeah, they're going to be doing Star. That's going to be launching in Europe, Canada, New Zealand, and Singapore. It's going to be going to additional markets in 2021. Star is kind of a spin of Hotstar, which was a service that they had already launched in like Indonesia and
I believe India.
India, yes, India was the other market that had it. And it's going to be integrated directly into Disney Plus in those markets, where it's going to be a tile up at the top, just like it says, like Disney, Pixar, Star Wars. There's going to be like National Geographic and Star. And this is a big deal because this is kind of what we've talked about, what we've wanted for Hulu, right? The Star tile will be 18 plus content in these other markets. So a lot of the stuff that you see on Hulu now, Family Guy, American Dad, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like all these properties that are not Disney Plus friendly will be in the Star service tile. When you launch it for the first time, you will have a prompt that says, you're about to access mature content. You know, do you want to accept this or do you want to leave it as is? If you decline, it stays 14 plus and it kind of defaults just to what Disney Plus is right now. If you accept it, then you get all those films, all that content that's, you know, for mature audiences that's currently available mostly on Hulu. This is something I've wanted Disney Plus to do for a long time with the Hulu content, so that I don't have to flip between apps to watch the things that I want or switch, you know. I'd love it if they did that to the content here. If it ends up just kind of being Star, you know, then so be it. I don't think they can fully use Hulu, because although they own the majority of Hulu, they don't fully own it. Like, it's still... they own the majority stake in it, but I think they'd have to pay royalties to who else still owns it? I don't remember off the top of my head.
I can't either.
But the point is that they don't fully own it, so they can't fully use it. But this gives me hope that eventually they're going to end up doing the same thing, and I'm totally for this. I've always said that if they can combine my services, paying $10 to $15 a month for that is something I would totally do, because I'm paying separate for each one now. But if you combine it and it's all in one app, oh man, so perfect. So perfect. Yeah,
definitely. Less of a hassle too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. So yeah, so that's going to be coming. Star Plus is going to be launching in Latin America as a standalone service. That's going to be launching in June 2021. And it's basically just live sports. There isn't going to be any additional content. Star Plus is strictly going to be for live sports in Latin America. The overall numbers for each of the things that they announced was that we're getting 10 new Star Wars series. We're getting 10 new Marvel series. We're getting 15 Disney and Pixar series, live action and animated, and 15 Disney and Pixar feature films.
It's a lot.
It's crazy.
It's a lot.
It is
crazy.
So we'll start with Hulu and Star. The four things that are coming to that service are going to be a series called 9 Perfect Strangers, featuring Nicole Kidman and Melissa McCarthy, Dope Sick, The Dropout, and Only Murders in the Building. That one, I think, is the one I'm most excited about, because that's the one with Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez. And it's supposed to be kind of like this murder mystery, like, style TV show. It's almost like Live Clue to me. At least that's what I got. That's what I got from the teaser that they showed. So I'm really, really excited about that one. Disney Television. Woo! Coach Bombay is back.
Yeah, I thought about you when
There's
I saw
gonna
this.
There's going to be an original series called The Mighty Ducks Game Changers, and Emilio Estevez is back as Coach Bombay.
That dude must have a time machine because he looks exactly the same as he did from the first Mighty Ducks movie.
Yeah, he didn't age.
At all. Like, he's got crazy good genes.
There was a quote that was said that caught my attention. I hope you got it. Gosh, I don't remember the little kid's name, but he has said, "I'm not much of an asset, but I have a podcast body."
Yes.
And I was like, yes. I understand you, kid.
Yep. I'm right there with him. When we first started doing the podcast, I would very frequently say, yep, I got a face for radio. And, you know, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So it's along the same line. So, yeah, I got a body for podcasting. And after quarantine, it's really a body for podcasting. So moving on. We're getting – so I – first of all, before we get into all of the other content, how do you feel about the massive amount of reboots that are coming?
I have questions because there's a few. There's a few that I was like, wait, what? Like, I'm confused.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know when we get to them.
Okay. Yeah.
There's one in particular.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that it's the same one that I'm thinking about right now. Does it start with a W?
No.
No? Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll get to it then. We'll get to it. Okay. All right. So continuing with the Disney Television Studio stuff that's coming. There's going to be a new TV show called Big Shot starring John Stamos and Yvette Nicole Brown.
Mm-hmm.
This one I'm really excited about. It's the Mysterious Benedict Society starring Tony Hale and Kristen Schaal. It's based on a novel. I don't know. I've never read the novel before. Honestly, I didn't even know this story existed. But just from the teaser, it looks good. I'm really excited about this one. And Josh Peck is going to be in a reboot of Turner and Hooch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, is anybody
It'll be
like,
interesting.
Is anybody really like, you know what we need? We need somebody to take Tom Hanks' place and redo Turner and Hooch.
I suppose.
I mean, I guess.
But I'm curious.
I guess we could say the same. And look, I like Josh Peck. I'm not going to lie. I think Josh Peck is actually a pretty entertaining guy. But I guess the same could have been said for Emilio Estevez in the Mighty Ducks reboot, right? But
right.
I'm such a fan of the Mighty Ducks that I wouldn't have cared anyway. So maybe that's what it falls in. Like, when you're just a fan, you're like, who cares? Just shut up and let me watch it.
Maybe.
Maybe. This next one, these next three, I'm excited / like question mark. A live action Beauty and the Beast prequel.
Yeah.
This was interesting, especially considering that it looks like it's gonna revolve around Gaston and LeFou, with Luke Evans and Josh Gad reprising their roles. Your thoughts on this one?
I wonder if this is going to be like Lion King 1.5.
Oh,
if that makes sense. So you're like in there, but you're seeing like maybe behind the scenes or something, or kind of like a spinoff. It's weird. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. Cause yeah, that one, I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. It's interesting that it's a prequel and it revolves around them because, one, it's kind of smart because they don't have to pay Emma the amount of money that they would have paid her to reprise her role as Belle and or do all of that crazy expensive makeup. CGI and makeup for the Beast.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The fact that it's just kind of them, it's a prequel prior to all of the events in Beauty and the Beast makes sense. I don't know. I hope it's not horrible. I hope that it really does a good job of supplementing it. You think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Because we don't know. How did they meet? We don't know.
That's true.
We may get that answer.
Yeah. And they did have a really good dynamic in the film. Honestly, from that live action Beauty and the Beast, some of the better interactions came from LeFou and Gaston. Just because they were just so on top of their lines and they were so snappy about them. They had a really good chemistry. So it would have been, it's going to be interesting. I am looking forward to new music by Alan Menken for this one.
Yes.
So that's going to be super exciting because I heart Alan Menken so much. I'm such a stan for all of his work. So I'm excited that he's coming back for this. Swiss Family Robinson?
Yeah.
Are you excited about this one?
I kind of am, because the person behind it worked on Battlestar Galactica, and I'm familiar with that. So a part of me is like, I want to see.
Were you a Battlestar Galactica fan, or are you?
No.
But you're familiar with it
Jerry
enough.
Jerry is.
Oh, got it. Okay.
He is. So I'm learning from him.
Well, I mean, that makes sense, though, because you're at least familiar with it. I'm not familiar mm-hmm. with Battlestar Galactica, but I know Gavin's probably... I don't know.
Oh,
honestly,
yeah.
I don't even know, because Gavin doesn't like reboots. And then, but he really likes Swiss Family Robinson. So it's going
to... I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear what his take is going to be on this one when we talk to him again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm excited about this one. Unless it's in the same... Like, if it kind of reminds me of Lost, I'll probably enjoy it more.
That's what I'm assuming it may be like, because the way that the show is, it's good.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, like, will it be like mysterious? Will there be like, will we see Smokey?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I know. Which codes are we going to have to learn for this show?
which buttons?
Which buttons are we going to have to press? Yeah, I'm. If it's like Lost, maybe I'll enjoy it. I'm going to give it a shot. You know, I usually end up giving shows 3 to 5 episodes before I call it on the show or not. But I'm going to give it an opportunity, obviously. But am I excited about it right now? Not really.
Yeah.
Percy Jackson and the Olympians. This was an interesting franchise because the last set of films that they did, I think, were kind of underrated. In some cases, I don't think people really picked up on them as much as they would have wanted to. I know that the series itself is very liked, you know, by people around the world. So if anything, I think this might be the answer to what Artemis Fowl wasn't, if they do it right. You know, because Disney's really, really been looking for what's going to be their Harry Potter. And they had a really good shot of doing it with Percy Jackson before. Artemis Fowl was supposed to be the answer to that, and it wasn't. And so maybe the series of books for Percy Jackson and the Olympians kind of turns out to be their Harry Potter this time around, if they do it right. So that's going to be an interesting one to follow, especially considering which stories they decide to tell as part of the franchise reboot. So... movies coming to Disney Plus. There's a lot of good stuff here. Flora and Ulysses.
That one looks adorable.
I mean, who doesn't want a sidekick squirrel?
Right.
You know? It's just nutty.
Oh, Lord.
That's right. Dad jokes all around. Dad jokes all around. Three Men and a Baby is getting a reboot, and Zac Efron is starring
in this
one. I laughed
so hard when I heard that. The way that they presented at the end, that they just threw his name, I'm like, wow.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's so weird to see that, like, Zac Efron was just in high school singing to the girl that he loved, and now he's a dad.
Dude, I put the same thing. I put Zac Efron grew up in roles.
Yeah.
That's exactly,
like,
yes.
He grew up before our eyes. Like, look at all the things that he's been in. He's been in more and more adult stuff. And now this.
Yeah, I don't know how to react to that.
I know. I think it's going to be pretty good. I mean, it might just be the fact that I like horrible movies, but, you know, it's not like, I don't know, whatever you consider the best film ever produced is, because we all have different, you know, thoughts on what that could be. But again... I don't think I've ever seen a Zac Efron film and just been like, yeah, that was a total waste of time. But, you know, I don't watch a lot of movies, so maybe that's what it is. Cheaper by the Dozen. Getting a reboot with Gabrielle Union.
Yeah.
It's going to be now this, like, multiracial family that's going to be put together for this film. And I think, is it the producer or the director of Blackish that's going to be helping with this project? Do you remember?
I do not remember at the moment.
It has a connection to Black-ish. I don't remember what it is, but I remember during the presentation they mentioned that it's either the director, the producer, or the writer, something like that. So that just that entire something-ish series has been really funny, and Black-ish has been one of the best ones in the series. So I'm kind of excited just on that alone for this one.
Mm-hmm.
The rumors are finally true.
I know.
We're getting Hocus Pocus 2.
Yay! So happy.
Everyone can rejoice because the Sanderson sisters are coming back, you know, for a second helping of Halloween or something. I don't know. Maybe they're coming back for Christmas this time when two holidays collide in Hocus Pocus 2. Who knows?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I shouldn't say that because...
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, but I also don't want to put out into the universe that there should be a live-action Nightmare Before Christmas.
No.
Yeah. I didn't say it.
That.
So, what are you most excited about for Hocus Pocus 2? Because I know this is one that you've been following for a really long time. You've been like, man, I really wish we had this. What does this announcement mean to you?
Oh, just a continuation, just more stories, and just to see how they, where they pick up from. Like, how did they come back? Like, I have so many questions, because you always wondered, like, how?
That's the primary question I had, because don't they, I mean, it's old enough that I don't care about spoilers at this point, but yeah, poof, right? At the end.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Is there another black flame candle?
I don't know. I like Hocus Pocus. It's one of those films that every Halloween I end up watching as part of the Halloween rotation. So I'm excited. I really enjoyed the first Hocus Pocus. I'm not as, I'll call it obsessed as you, but like I like it enough that I'm excited for this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we really need Sister Act 3?
No.
Right?
And I love 1 and 2, but no.
And I love Whoopi Goldberg, too. I thought she was great in the first one. I thought the second one wasn't as strong as the first one.
Yeah.
But I don't really think we need the third one. We're getting it, but could have done without it. This next one is probably the reason Carrie Underwood is no longer available on Spotify, but we're getting Disenchanted, which is a sequel to Enchanted, and Amy Adams is coming back as Giselle.
That's pretty cool. Just the title itself, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I really liked how they split the time between like both worlds, right? They did a really good job of kind of flipping between the two. They didn't do it in a way that felt overly done in the film. Like, it was with purpose every single time. Mm-hmm. So... obviously this one's going to be in a cartoon. Well, I mean, in the photo, she's in the real world again.
It may be both.
Now I'm thinking. That's a bad thing. Okay. Nope. Moving on. I'm just going to choose to ignore that. And I'm going to say I'm looking forward to it. Because I kind of am. I'm not going to lie. I really am. I'm really, really happy that this next film was announced, because I was concerned that being purchased by Disney, that a lot of the Fox things were going to kind of just go away. Blue Sky Studios, I know they had said that they were going to continue working with them, but I was always concerned that they weren't going to continue with the things that they were already good at. And Ice Age is one of those franchises that, man, it's just so funny. Like, I love Ice Age. I love everything that they've put out, including all the short films. I think right now there's like 6 or 7 of them. But Scrat is just such like a fun character. Like, he's so plain, and yet there's so much dimension to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm happy that they announced Ice Age Adventures of Buck Wild. Because, like I said, I was really, really concerned that they weren't going to do anything with Ice Age going forward anymore. So that was really exciting to see. My kids were super excited to hear that we're getting an animated Diary of the Wimpy Kid series on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love those books. They revisit them a lot. I'm looking forward to this one. The animated version of Night at the Museum.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I like those films. I like the first one more than the others, but I think there's going to be a lot more stories that that they can tell in an animated series that they can't necessarily do in a feature mm-hmm. film because of all the additional CG and stuff that you have to do. So this one, I think, if it's written correctly, will be really, really entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
And if they're smart, they'll incorporate some history that kids can learn something from as well. So,
I'm sure.
What did you think when they did the Rescue Rangers announcement?
I'm excited. I am. I'm excited. I don't know what to expect. Are they going to be? I just have questions. It's all it is. It's just questions. But I'm excited. I am. I want to see this happen. But I have my reservations.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I could equate it to is basically the adventure version of Alvin and the Chipmunks. But
yes.
But
yes.
With critters that aren't as large as Alvin and the Chipmunks. Because Alvin and the Chipmunks act like they're teenagers, but they're the size mm-hmm. of toddlers.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
In this film, I would suspect that they're like, here's what I think. I mean, I think it's just going to be a story of like some children that are, you know, getting bullied, something gets stolen, and the Rescue Rangers are on the case trying to help them, right? And so it would make Aww. Sense if they have these little animated chipmunks that are dressed up in their little outfits and everything, and they don't even have the outfits, right? They're going to be Chip and Dale, and then one mm-hmm. of the children's going to be like, ah, look at these clothes from my doll. You look so cute. And then Dale's going to be like, ah, I really love this like Hawaiian shirt, right? So I think it'll all come together like in that fashion somehow, because mm-hmm. then it'll make sense that you have these like animated creatures. So I really feel it's going to be along the lines of like an Alvin and the Chipmunks, you know, but with that mystery element to it.
Mystery and adventure. Yeah.
And I love Rescue Rangers growing up mm-hmm. too. Talk about Disney afternoon and 90s. So this one, totally looking forward to it. Oh, I'm sure that Gavin would have thoughts about this one, considering it's his favorite film. Pinocchio.
Pinocchio. Okay. Pinocchio looks really real, which kind of terrifies mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I will say on the record, Pinocchio, the attraction scares me to death still. So imagine Stromboli in live action. No, thank you.
Yeah. So no. This one's interesting because the film is being directed by Robert Zemeckis. And mm-hmm. Robert Zemeckis has a really good track record of putting out amazing films. Like,
oh, of course.
We're talking like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, A Christmas Carol, Castaway, The Polar Express. Mm-hmm. Like what else? Back to the Future. I mean, he's got so many under his belt. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to tell a story. And I'm sure that the cinematography in this one is going to be remarkable. And with the teasers that we got, like the little teaser images that we got, And Tom Hanks is Geppetto. Like, is there a role that this dude cannot crush? Like, I haven't even seen him as Geppetto.
He's awesome.
And I already know he's going to crush it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Have you seen The Terminal?
Yes.
So I could kind of see him playing like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
It's going to be a good film.
Yeah.
For me, it just terrifies me.
Huh. Hey, Tom Hanks, if you want to come on Podketeers and talk about your career, like, we could do a Zoom call, dude. So just hit me up.
Yeah.
We could talk about Pinocchio. You don't have to spoil anything. I'm not going to be like one of the talk show hosts that tries to get it out of you. We just chat. So, you know, I'll put that out there. Peter Pan and Wendy.
Sounds cute.
Was this supposed to be a sequel, like, picking up just, like, shortly after the first film? I don't remember what they said about this one.
You know what? No. I think I was just too excited that I just... You know when you get excited and then you just blink out because you're so excited? Yeah. I think that's what happened. I don't have any notes. That's the only one I don't have notes
on. Yeah, I didn't write down notes for this one either. I just wrote Peter Pan and Wendy. And I was like, cool. That's my note.
Yeah, cool. Exactly.
So, there you go. That's the info. Cool. The Little Mermaid was one we already knew was in production. We've had a lot of information come out for this one. Lin-Manuel Miranda and Alan Menken are writing music for the new adaptation of The Little Mermaid. This one I'm excited about.
Me too. Me too. The cast and the music. Yes.
Yeah. The Little Mermaid, I think, was one of those pivotal films in, like, my Disney brain, because it was one of the first films I remember watching, you know, during the Disney Renaissance. It's one of the first films I learned the entire soundtrack to. And, like, to this day, it's one of the films I can still watch it over and over. It's just really good. It's so memorable in so many ways. So this one, I hope they do it justice, because and that's really the problem with remakes, right? That you end up comparing them to the original version. And so when they don't really match up, you're either really disappointed and like, oh, that movie was horrible. They blah, blah, blah. But I think people end up feeling like that because they expect it to be a shot-by-shot remake and they want it to be exactly what they remembered as a kid. And it's not going to be that. You know, we've seen already with some of the Disney live-action stuff that they do their best to give you some of the iconic moments without replicating the film, you know, to the frame, because they want to be able to tell just a similar story. But in this case, one of the things I'm looking forward to the most is the music that Alan Menken and Lin-Manuel Miranda are going to be bringing to this film.
Yeah.
So that one definitely already on my needs to be watched playlist. Speaking of, when you were talking about Lion King and 1.5 earlier, we're getting 1.5.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? I saw this and I thought, are they re-releasing last year's? What is happening?
No, this is 1.5. This is a prequel to the live action, live animated action, you know what I'm talking about, version of The Lion King. I know.
It's just that I'm like, what? Why? I didn't. That's the one I did not understand.
Yeah.
But okay.
I'm not. You know, did you like Lion King 1.5?
Actually, yeah, I did.
Did you really?
I did. Yeah.
Maybe I should watch it again. I remember watching it and just thinking, like, this is garbage. And I just kind of went away from it.
I think what it is because they're able to poke fun at themselves.
No, so that's one of the things I liked about it. Like, the, you know, one of the things I really like the most about the Lego movies is how much they troll themselves and each other. Like, they're like, nothing is out of bounds. And I really enjoy when Lego does things for Disney, Star Wars, Marvel, because they take it to a level where the Disney properties themselves, if they weren't Lego, wouldn't take it, right? So I really enjoy that part of it. And for Lion King 1.5, I like that part of it, but there was just something about the film that I was like, why am I watching this? Like, this we don't need this. And I don't know, I'll give it a chance. I'm gonna watch it. I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna watch it anyway. But am I excited about it? Not really.
We'll give it a shot.
I mean, it's happening, but you know. This one, however, I am excited about. Cruella.
Yes.
Okay, so
yes,
the thing I'm most excited about is the time period that they're setting this one in. It's like in punk rock London.
Yes.
I hope that they actually have the music style and everything to match that era, because it's such a huge part. The clothing styles and I don't know. I hope they do this justice.
The whole movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they do it justice, because the way that they pitched it and the way that it looks to me, if they don't deliver on that, I'm going to be pissed.
I honestly see this film being like gritty, being dirty, being like, I mean, it's going to be punk.
Yeah.
And wow, I think I'm going to say this right now. I have a feeling that once I see this movie, she may be up there in rank, because Maleficent, too nice. So, oh, Cruella, no. Come on. Make me happy.
I won't say anything. I don't want to put salt in the wound. So,
I want a good villain film. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the villain films are hard because Disney's going to want to give the villains a backstory. Like, mm-hmm. They want you to empathize with the villain, right? And in some cases, when you can empathize with the villain because something is so just, like, I'll give you the perfect example, Killmonger. Mm-hmm. Killmonger had such a great backstory, and it was so well told that you really did empathize with the character and you understood the reasoning behind what Killmonger was doing. His entire backstory led to that moment. But in some of the other villain things that we've seen, they're just kind of watered down versions of the villain, and they never tell that great of a story. It just kind of makes them look like punks. And yep. At that point, you're like, why did you even make this? Now you just kind of, they took away some of the mystique of what that mm-hmm. character was, you know? And so with this one, if they do it right, like, I feel like Emma Stone is a good person to portray Cruella in this
yes.
one. Like, she has that, like attitude where I think she can really pull it off. And that, you know, that, like, one scream where Cruella's like, puppies! In, like, 101 mm-hmm. Dalmatians. Like, I could totally see Emma Stone making that face and, like, pulling that line off in that same fashion. So, I'm excited about this one. I really hope they do it justice. And I want to watch it now. If they want to send me a screener copy, I will be happy. They're not going to, but, you know, if somebody wants to send me a screener code, I'll totally watch it and tell you what I think about it. Speaking of new films, Walt Disney Animation Features announced a couple of new films. One of them we already knew about, definitely. It's been in production for some time. We've heard about it at the D23 Expo, and that's Raya and the Last Dragon. Raya mm-hmm. was pushed from theaters because of the pandemic. Now it's going to be released on March 5th, 2021, in theaters and with Disney Premier Access for $29.99. Before I give my thoughts, how did you feel about that announcement?
I'm actually okay, because I have it.
Premier so Access? It
doesn't... Yeah.
Well, you have to pay individually.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So for any film that's part of Premier Access, like if you paid it for Mulan, you only paid it mm-hmm. for Mulan. Like, you're going to have to pay the $30 again for Raya.
I totally misunderstood.
Yeah.
I will wait.
So here's the thing. I think we talked about this before, that when you think about it, from the money standpoint, you want Disney to produce new content.
Right.
But how are they going to get the money for this new content if you don't have movie theaters?
And I just thought about that. I would gladly pay for it. Now that I think about it.
Now,
I don't know why I said that.
Mulan, I didn't pay for. But there was things about Mulan that I'm not a huge Mulan fan. Two, mm-hmm. there was things going on with the filming of Mulan that I just didn't agree with. And so I thought, you know what? I'll wait until it's free and then I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. And to this day, it's already free and I still haven't watched it. Like, I've seen the original one a couple times instead. And I'm like, cool, I got my Mulan fix. I'm good. This one, however, I'm super excited about.
Yeah.
I saw Paul Briggs talk. He was on a panel at the D23 Expo. And we had a chance to listen to him talk about Raya and some of the other stuff in animation. And it was super, super fun to listen to that panel. I think I put it in on the Podcasters YouTube channel. If I have it up there, I'll include it in the blog post for this episode, which is already going to be full of like pictures and videos. But podcasters.com/339 if you're interested in watching it. But Raya itself was a really interesting story, and I was intrigued by the concept art and by the teasers that we had already seen. I'm okay with the $29.99 model. Bob Chapek said that this is their way of that they're not really going to move away from theatrical runs, that they still have a lot of value for the Disney company. But they're mm-hmm. trying to figure out, like, what's the best way to distribute? Like, do we make more money on this? Do we make more money in theaters? But not knowing where we're going to be or if movie theaters are even going to exist in the future, you have right. to kind of start putting together these new models of how you're going to get new content out there. And if people are willing to wait 6 months to a year for it to be free, then cool. But if, you know, when you think about it, like on our side, whenever we went to the movies, it was at least $100.
Oh, easily.
You know, because tickets and then concessions. And yes, I know, I get it. You don't have to get the popcorn. You don't have to get the soda. You kind of do. Sorry to tell you.
Yeah.
Like there's a certain magic to movie theater popcorn that you can't always replicate anywhere. So yeah, you kind of do. So it was always about $100 every time that we went out. So $30 to be able to watch this, that one we're getting. I can already tell you now we're going to get that one.
Definitely.
Encanto, Lin-Manuel Miranda, dude. Providing music for this one in English and Spanish.
Yes.
It was a very, very short teaser. What'd you think?
The music. Oh, my gosh. So familiar with the music that I cannot wait. This to me is like, this is party music.
Yeah.
So just the colors and whatnot, knowing he's doing the music, this is going to be a party.
Yeah. So as soon as I heard the music to this one, I thought the same thing. I felt like I was a little kid and it was like every single weekend at my grandparents' yes! house with the music blasting, the carne asada going, people uh-huh. dancing, you know, and just the family getting together. Like it was an every Sunday thing at my grandparents' house while we were growing up. So as soon as I heard it, I just felt like this love just come all over my body. And I just felt mm-hmm. like I was a kid again. And I thought, I need to watch this. I'm so in love with this film. And I haven't even seen more than like this 8-second teaser.
Right. And then it's the 60th film. With Latin flavor, I'm like, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yay.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I know I've said that a lot, but I really am excited about a lot of these things that are coming. And we haven't even gone into Pixar, Star Wars, or Marvel yet. So let's keep going through this because there's still a lot of content, believe it or not. We'll kind of quickly go through the Disney animated series. We're getting Baymax, Zootopia, Tiana, Moana, mm-hmm. and Iwaju. How do you feel about animated series for these characters?
I am excited. Flash is going to be getting his own thing for Zootopia. Tiana is getting her own thing. Yes, 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 yes. I'm just excited for actually all of them. So yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I love all of these. Pixar, Cars is getting a TV series. Doug mm-hmm. is getting Doug Days, which is going to be one of the first ones coming out very soon. They're going to have something called Win or Lose, which is an original, which is based on like a baseball team, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a series of small stories called Pixar Popcorn based on a lot of the characters that we already know. Up, Buzz Lightyear, The Incredibles, Dory, I think.
Cars.
There's going to be one based on Soul. Ducky mm-hmm. and Bunny are getting one. So I think those are going to be pretty fun. They're going to be, I feel like they're going to be very similar to the Forky shorts. But
yeah,
you know, we'll see what those turn out to be. Feature films. We're getting Turning Red, which is mm-hmm. by Bao director Domi Shi.
Yeah.
That I think is going to be really, really good. Bao was just so full of love that mm-hmm. I can't imagine Turning Red not being that. Turning Red is right. a story of a little girl that whenever she gets super angry, she turns into a big red panda. So, I mean, it's a big red panda. What is there not to love? One of the feature films that made, or one of the announcements that made waves across Diz Twitter was Lightyear, an origin story for yes. Buzz Lightyear, starring Chris Evans in the role of Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So Captain America is bringing America's talents to the Pixar realm now. At first, when I saw the announcement without having seen, because I saw somebody post about it before I had seen the investor call, but mm-hmm. it's kind of cool that they're doing this origin story. Like, the way that Lightyear is set up is it's a movie within a movie where Buzz is learning about the original Buzz Lightyear and where he came from. So the fact that he's a little different and doesn't look like the Buzz that we know, I actually mm-hmm. really dig that because, you know, toys go through different iterations. Generations of a toy tend to change slightly. Mm-hmm. If one toy was intended to be something totally different and then it turned into something else. So I don't know if this is what's going to carry Buzz into the future. I doubt it because I feel that the Buzz that we know now, that people are familiar with and children are familiar with, is such an iconic character in the Pixar universe that they wouldn't change him. But the fact mm-hmm. that Lightyear's version of Buzz looks the way that he does, because he kind of looks like he's in an MCU time suit. Like, yeah. if you look at him, he looks like he's about to, you know, hop time to try to save Tony Stark or something. And that's super cool. Like, I'm totally digging that. So this one's definitely on the I have to watch this list.
Yeah.
I know that we just recently talked about all of the Star Wars content that you have to watch in order to feel like you got a complete timeline. Well,
right.
That's going to change soon. I know where several of these fall because they mentioned them throughout the investor call. And so there was more mm-hmm. information that was released. So I might have to go back and eventually put all of these in that list so that it's even more complete now, because these announcements kind of change a lot of that. But Lucas is going to be putting out Star Wars content, a new series called Rangers of the New Republic. They're putting out Ahsoka, Andor, which follows Cassian Andor from Rogue One, mm-hmm. Lando.
Yeah.
And I still want to know if Donald Glover's coming back. You know, it would be, you know, fun to see him in that role again. The Acolyte, which is supposed to be about 100 years before A New Hope. The Obi-Wan Kenobi series that apparently has been rumored for 17 and a half years is fine. It hasn't been that long, but it's finally confirmed and we're getting it. Anakin Skywalker himself, Darth Vader, Hayden Christensen is coming back to reprise his role. Was that really something people wanted to see? Probably not. But it's happening.
I'll take it.
I mean, he's going to fight Obi-Wan Kenobi. And if anything, you'll get a kick out of that rematch and see how that goes. If it's uh-huh. a rematch. I don't know how they're going to incorporate them. But apparently we'll this see. Is taking place 10 years after Return of the Sith. So, yeah, it is a rematch, technically. There's going to be a couple of animated films. Vision, which is going to be several short films. A Droid Story, which revolves mm-hmm. around R2-D2 and C-3PO. That one just looks super fun. It's like so yeah. buddy cop movie. I can't eat yeah. right now with that one. I'm like so on board with that one. The Bad Batch, which is a Clone Wars spinoff. Rogue Squadron, which is being directed by Patty Jenkins. That one looks just so freaking good.
It does.
And then a new untitled Star Wars film by Taika Waititi. So there's so much Star Wars content that
yeah.
I already knew was going to take me 18 years to get through the current amount. Now I have to figure out a way to finish most of that before this new stuff comes out, or else I'm really never going to get through it. Ever. Like, yeah. There's just so much. On top of that, some other announcements that Lucas was helping to produce. Willow, the series, is coming back.
Yeah.
My notes here say expletive Willow? Really?
Gosh, I remember this movie as when I was a kid, so I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm kind of excited to see what they're going to produce.
You know what I think it is? I think when I was a kid, we didn't have cable for a really long time, and so all I had available to me were the, like, here in L.A. was Channel 5, right? KTLA. Mm-hmm. And so all we had was, like, Willow, Short Circuit, Princess Bride, and Batteries Not Included. And the damn time, that's all that played. And I love Batteries Not Included. It, like, of all of those, it's probably my favorite one. But, like, Willow was probably my least favorite of all of them. And when I saw this announcement, I was like, Willow? I don't know. If anybody listening is excited for Willow, please join the conversation and leave a comment in the blog post for the episode, podcasters.com/339. Join us on Discord or just leave a comment on Instagram about this film, because this, of everything announced, this was probably the one I was like, are you kidding me? I just didn't know how to take it. Children of Blood and Bone seems to be one of the grittiest things that they're going to be putting out. I'm excited about this one. I didn't know much about it. I've been trying to read a little bit more. But this looks really good. And, of course, the other thing that Lucas is producing, I had to ask how you felt about this. Indiana Jones 5.
Okay, for the record, I'm very hesitant. Very. Because there's nothing right now. And I don't know. I don't know. How do you top Aliens? I don't know. But it felt good to hear that.
There's a Marvel crossover coming soon.
I was going to say Star-Lord is going to come around. I don't know. Oh, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, did we really need this?
Gavin and I have said we're good with 1 through 3. We're good.
Yeah, I know. I just, maybe this is Harrison Ford's way of saying, yeah, I get it with Crystal Skull. Let me redeem myself before I go out as Indy.
Maybe.
And if that's what this turns out to be, fantastic. I'm happy that he's doing it. Because when I saw that he was like on the project as well, I thought, well, okay, there's some kind of hope for it, but. But mm-hmm. then we had a Crystal Skull, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, we're getting that. So, the Marvel stuff. We've been hearing a lot about Marvel content for a really long time. The very first thing that we're going to get is coming in January, and that is WandaVision. With every teaser, with every trailer, with everything that I read, I am so excited about WandaVision. It looks so good. It has that sitcom vibe of like the Isle of Lucy's and like all those old school shows, but with a Marvel twist.
Yes. You know, so exactly.
I want to scream with joy about this, that it's finally coming out. It was postponed, and I'm happy that we finally have a date. I love that they're following the weekly release model, just like they've done with The Mandalorian and some of these other shows like Imagineering Story, etc. I love it. Super excited for WandaVision. We got a trailer for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. This already looks super good. This just solidifies it. And one that I was kind of hesitant about, and I thought, okay, I mean, I can kind of see how they can do an entire series on him, and now that I've seen the teaser for it, hot damn, I'm excited for Loki.
Right?
Oh my god, it is a crime thriller, y'all. Like, I'm I love that type of stuff. I love the fact that Loki is like, it just, there's so many elements of like that look kind of Pulp Fiction-y, and they look kind of I'm kind of losing my mind here. This looks so ridiculously good. We already knew about What If. It was an animated series that they've been planning for a really long time that just kind of puts different characters and different universes, you know, to the forefront. It's like, what if this person was this person, or what happened, or what if this was the series of events, or what if this character did this instead of this? So that one I'm super, super excited about. I love that series and what it's going to bring to us. This next one, I kind of lost it when they announced it. I'm kind of skipping in the order of how things were announced. But, man, we're getting Riri Williams. We're getting an Ironheart series. I'm so excited. I love that story. I've wanted to see Ironheart in the MCU for a really long time. And if this is how we get it, I'm cool with it. I know that they're going to do the character justice. I love how they told that story. And I'm just super excited about what they're going to do with this one. So the next one is She-Hulk. She-Hulk is going to put Tatiana Maslany in the main role. It's going to have Mark Ruffalo reprise his role as the Hulk. But the biggest news to me was really the fact that Tim Roth is returning as Abomination in this film. This is huge because Tim Roth was Abomination in The Incredible Hulk when Ed Norton played the Hulk.
Oh, and the MCU
doesn't reference The Incredible Hulk as the Hulk movie for the MCU. Until now, people have wanted a Hulk film. The closest thing we came to that was Thor Ragnarok. And now we're getting She-Hulk, and now this is more of an origin story than anything else we've ever gotten before. And the fact that the character, I mean, I know that they're probably not going to connect them at all, but if they did, that would be super cool, because it's the first time they're going to acknowledge that film as part of the MCU. Like, in the original Infinity Saga, it's not even acknowledged as an actual Infinity Saga film, even though Iron Man references it.
They have a game plan.
I know. I know. I believe in the Vision. And not just Vision, but in the Vision of Kevin Feige. So this one, I'm really curious about what they're going to do with it. Super excited about it. I'm so on board. Hailee Steinfeld was confirmed as Kate Bishop for the Hawkeye series. And I think people kind of knew already, because there was a lot of leaked photos from the set that came out this last week. So this was just confirmation of that. Miss Marvel, newcomer Iman Vellani is going to be Miss Marvel. And it looks like there's going to be some crossovers. There's going to be she's going to be in a film with Brie Larson. I mean, you know how I feel about Brie Larson as Captain Marvel, but it is what it is. I mean,
it's okay.
Yeah, I know. The other announcement was for Secret Invasion. That's going to be starring Nick Fury. I just like Nick Fury yelling at everything.
Me too.
I'm kind of just looking at it.
Give me a movie that just, that's it.
Like Samuel L. Jackson in all of his roles is very, very similar, but he's just so entertaining doing it. And Nick Fury is one of my favorite characters that he's just like, you know, he just, I can't use that language. Anyway, he's so good. Armor Wars was another announcement. The Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which will be directed by Tim Gunn. It's going to be filmed alongside Guardians 3. And this has been described as the Guardians version of the Star Wars Holiday Special. And if that's true, I hope that's not the case, because that first one was hot garbage. But I will say, if anyone has the humor to pull off something on purpose like that, it's James Gunn.
Yeah.
So if it is bad on purpose, I give it up to James Gunn. But if I don't think it's going to be bad. I think they just have a story to tell, and they have to connect it to the rest of the MCU somehow. So I don't think it's going to be bad, he said with a tear in his eye, hoping that they don't mess it up.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. We're getting an animated series called I Am Groot, featuring Baby Groot. Black Panther 2 has been postponed until July 8th of 2022. And it was nice to hear that Kevin Feige announced that they are not going to be replacing or digitally adding Chadwick Boseman to Black Panther 2, that they're going to continue to explore Wakanda and everything, but they're not going to digitally add him to the film, right, which is great.
Yeah.
Thor Love and Thunder, the big announcement was that Christian Bale has joined the cast, and he will be Gore the God Butcher. Batman coming to Marvel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Part of the Thor universe now, part of the MCU. Thought that was kind of fun. Ant-Man and the Wasp, new film called Quantumania. This one I'm really excited about because I think the Ant-Man and the Wasp films don't get as much love as some of the other MCU films do, but they're so good.
I agree. Yeah, they're entertaining.
Yeah, they're so entertaining. Like, the story's really good. Plus, Ant-Man as a character, I think, is pretty fun. So this one I'm looking forward to. And one of the biggest announcements is the confirmation, obviously, of the Fantastic Four film. John Watts directing. John Watts brought us Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home. So just with those two films alone, I already know that Fantastic Four is going to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's it. I mean, I hate to say, and that's it, but that is a ton of new content coming to Disney Plus. It's obviously not all coming next month. It's not coming in a year. This is coming over the course of the next several years. But yeah, I mean, if Disney continues to, so I have, in general, I don't necessarily like the fact that they're using so many existing properties to put together a lot of new content if they don't supplement existing stories. Like, I feel that it makes a lot of sense with, for instance, Ahsoka or, like, WandaVision. You know, like, those shows I feel are going to add a lot to the MCU and to the Star Wars, you know, stories in general. But, like, how does Cars or how does, you know, these other, you know what I mean? Like, they're just supplemental cartoons. I don't know how to describe it. I just feel like we're going to get more from the major content from, like, Star Wars and Marvel that'll continue to tell a storyline. Like, one of the shows that they're doing is going to cross over Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, and Monica Rambeau. You know, so that is going to now tie in the film MCU line with the TV MCU line, you know, and that hasn't been done before. Like, the way that it was split up, there was these vague references. Like, you didn't really hear references to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or any of these other shows because they weren't fully connected, you know. But I think this is the first step to actually connecting everything completely where it's acknowledged and now it's part of the entire timeline, you know. So,
yeah,
I'm excited about a lot of the stuff that's coming. Some of the reboots, I just think, like, you know, it's cool. I get it. You know, some people might like it. But overall, there isn't anything on here that I won't, that I wouldn't even consider watching. I think that's the point.
There's something, there's something for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. But I just want to see it now. Like, I just want to start the trickle. January can't come soon enough so that they start streaming some of that newer stuff and some of those old shows that are coming to Disney Plus in January. And I'm looking forward to the day that they integrate the 18 plus content to our Disney Plus here, so that we can enjoy one app. So, long list of announcements. Any closing words, Mel, before we end today's episode?
We're not going to sleep in January.
I know.
That's it.
Along with the stupid playing card apps and all this new content, I'm hosed. Never sleep again. All right. Well, if you have any favorites that really stand out in this list, join the conversation over on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just search for Podketeers. You can also join the conversation over on the Discord server. We'd love to have you join us there as we build our community on Discord. Let us know what your favorite is, and let us know what your least favorite is. You know, I definitely have a least favorite on here. And I made a couple of them really well known. But we'd like to hear what yours are. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep moving forward, and always remember to pass on the magic. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
Bye.